life change. And I want to just think this morning a little bit about the story around the tomb. And we find that in all four Gospels. It's amazing that this lady, who knows her name, that who's the first person that saw the resurrected Jesus? Mary Magdalene. First person, and it's in all four Gospels. And an incredible lady who'd been set free from seven demons, and her life had been completely changed. Life-changing. If there was a heading topic, life-changing. This, what happened on the cross, and there, a few days later with the open tomb, is life-changing. I mean, I tend to listen to kind of stories and things, and I was listening to a new podcast. It's called Life-Changing on Radio 4, and it's different stories of different people whose lives have been changed. Something has happened, some big thing has happened to the family, or some big revelation. Life-changing. Well, Mary's life was changed. Let's just pick up the story. So John chapter 20, verse 14. John chapter 20, verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." There's so much in that small passage. Even that last line, I want to read that again. "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." See, Jesus' death and resurrection makes that sentence a reality. Is that a reality in my life, in your life? Isn't it wonderful that God can be known as Father? It really just amazes me. The more I study Scripture, the more I see Father. He's not Father Christmas. He doesn't just give us what we want. He is Father God. He's a king, isn't he? He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's Almighty. But the words, the truth of those words, because of what Jesus' death had done on that cross, enabled us to have right relationship. We talked about that on Good Friday. And the first person that sees the risen Christ is Mary, someone whose life had been changed. See, when we have an encounter with Christ, our life is changed. And many of us in this room, you might remember that time or that season in your life where you made a commitment. You may remember a season where there was a spiritual awakening in your heart and God was drawing you to himself. And sometimes we can get lost and just stay in that point, isn't it? Sometimes we remember God working in my life, maybe in Sunday school or university. The reality of salvation isn't just saved, it actually means being saved. There's something about when we come to Christ, when we recognize who he is, that he's Lord, Lord Jesus, that means we come before him, we recognize that authority and we want to follow him. Just as Mary said, she calls him Rabboni, which means teacher, that the way of the apprentice, the way of the disciple. She was a disciple, Mary was a disciple, you can see that. She calls him Rabboni. She sees Jesus as the teacher, and he teaches us. But it's that being saved. There's that journey. There's that process. Has your life been changed by an encounter with the risen Christ? Is your life being changed as we walk with it? And I think that's the challenge, isn't it? Sometimes we can get familiar, can't we? We can get familiar with the Christmas message. We can get familiar with the Easter message. But if ever there's a time that our world needs Jesus, it's now, isn't it? Man can't fix it. The world is royally broken. And we know why. We know that conspiracy. We know the conspiracy that goes all the way back to the garden where relationship was broken. But of course, Jesus restores that. And we see here this lady, this is a person, a real person, whose life was completely changed, life-changing. She met Jesus, changed her life. He set her free from those demons, those things that held her back. And sometimes in our culture, we don't talk a lot about demons or demon possession, and maybe that's a talk for another time. But the things, if you think in all of our lives, we all are slaves to something. She was a slave to these demons. Jesus had set her free, set her on a new direction. Has God set me free? And if he has set me free, am I walking in that freedom? Am I walking that out? Is God my Father? And is he my God, just as Jesus promised to her as he was saying where he was going? So I was listening to this podcast, life-changing, recommend it. I can't remember the name of the lady. I think she's got that BBC voice, nice lady. And then was this character that came on, proper Valleys character, and this episode was called Keith Aglow. Which, what does that mean, Sean? Keith Aglow. Very good. Keith, that's just his name. So in the Valleys, everyone's got a name, isn't it? You know, if you sold trainers in the Valleys, you'd be called Die the Dap or something, you know. Die the Butcher. So it was called Keith Aglow, the coal man who could have been a prince. And it's a beautiful story, and I recommend go on your podcast or check it out on your iPlayer, on the radio section. Life-changing, really interesting stories, inspiring stories. And this guy tells this story of how, I'll just read some of it. Keith was put up for adoption by his birth mother when he was 4 months old and lived at the Caerglas Children's Home in Fyrvach until he was 18 months old. Keith was then adopted and grew up in a loving family home with his adoptive parents. Keith left school at 15 to join his adoptive father's coal delivery business, but after 20-odd years of carrying 112-pound sacks of coal, he ended up having chronic back pain, conditioned him to retire 6 years ago. He did not make any attempts to track down his biological parents until after the birth of his first grandchild. Following a suggestion by his wife, keeping his mission a secret from his adoptive parents, and armed only with a marriage certificate and an address of someone who witnessed his mother's wedding, he was met with many dead ends along the way. In his late 40s, he received an address and began writing to his mother, Elizabeth Rosa Hodge. Having been apart for nearly 50 years, they eventually reunited. His mother was now living in Peterborough, Cambridgeshire, and had two daughters. He learned that his mother had been swept off her feet into a whirlwind romance with a London University student, and Sultan Idris Isikander Almatakawaki Alahaya Shah, while she was 17 years old, he must have had a nickname. While she was 17 years old, studying nursery in Surrey, after falling pregnant, she returned to a Llanelli home, and after the birth of her son, he had to put Keith up for adoption. The Sultan returned to Malaysia to avoid the royal scandal that would have been brought up by having a baby out of wedlock with a foreign commoner, and Elizabeth lost all contact with him. She learned that he never received any of her letters, but she had kept everything she had written to him and the photos they had taken together. He only found out he was adopted when he was 13 years old, which was around the time when his father ascended to the throne from the prince to the 33rd Sultan. So there's this story, and you hear the guy and his accent and how his parents couldn't have children. And, you know, in those days, they tried and tried. And can you imagine the coalman go into the kid's home? And in those days, they said, well, just take him home, show your wife. Can you imagine that? You know, that wouldn't happen today, would it? So this little boy, little blonde boy goes home. And they love on him. They dote on him. And he speaks so fondly of that relationship. But of course, when you find out you've been adopted, you want to know, don't you? You want to know what's the story. And he only found out when he was 13. And then as the story unfolds, you know, his father, you know, the way that the governance works there, they take turns to govern the whole every 5 years. So he was a sultan. And he finds out that he could have been a prince. And because of the time, because she was in nursing, she was pressured to give up the son for adoption. You know, that's the kind of world, you know, that kind of stuff that happened. Sadly, didn't get any of those letters. But imagine that. You've been a coalman your entire life. And it's even stuffed your back up. That's a lot of weight, isn't it? 55 kilograms to be carrying. Who remembers cold men? But can you imagine finding out that you could have been a prince? That your biological father is worth millions or billions or whatever it is in Malaysia. And in some senses, that's what's happened to us, isn't it? In our journey of faith, isn't it? See, when you encounter the risen Christ, and when you come into that relationship as a son and a daughter, each one of you, us in this room, we are a son or a daughter of the living God. We may be lost right now. We might be estranged. That might not be a reality in our heart. That might be a partial reality in our heart. My heart's cry is that there will be a full reality. Because doesn't that change the way you think? Doesn't that change your stature, your confidence? That doesn't mean that we're immune to the ups and downs of life. But I wonder, how much do I fully know that I am a king's kid? Do you know that you are a king's kid? That you are a prince? That you are a princess? That you are a royal priesthood, isn't it? There's that thing, now we can cry, Abba, Father. We are sons and daughters. We've been adopted into his family, all because of what Jesus did on the cross. Just some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of these scriptures you know, but let's just listen to them afresh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Romans 10 verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you been set free? Do you believe? Are our lives being changed or be being changed? Do I really live my life? Do we live our lives thinking, I am a son, I am a daughter? Doesn't that change it? Because if I'm a son, if I'm a daughter, when the storms of life come, and they do come, don't they? Has anyone had a storm in life? Anyone had some issues in life? It's not if, it's when, isn't it? But when those things come, if we know that we've got access to the throne room of heaven, do you know that you've got access? Just picture like the White House. You can run straight in to the president's office because you're Father God's son and daughter. We've got that access. Do we live in the reality of that? Let's just pray before Chantel finishes with an amazing song, Amazing Grace, with My Chains Are Free. And that's it is an amazing grace, isn't it? An amazing story, an amazing, amazing story that can be my reality and your reality. Let's just pray. Thank you. Thank you for coming, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you came as a baby. We thank you that that was real, that you were a real person. We thank you that you are the central figure of history, that history is divided by your arrival. You are the key point. And as we remember the greatest day in history, where death was defeated, where we get that, we can have that realization that we are your sons and daughters. We are princes and princesses in your kingdom, and you just want us to come home, and you've done everything, and all we need to say is, yes, please. And wherever I am on my journey, maybe I haven't had that encounter with you, and if there's people here that want that, I just pray, Lord Jesus, would you reveal yourself to them? Would you speak to them even this morning, even as we worship in a moment? Would you just break into their life just like you broke out of that tomb? And for those of us who have been on the journey maybe for a while, Lord, would you help us walk in the deeper sense? Would you help us walk in the reality? Well, sometimes we put our coal men's clothes back on every morning, and you have set us free. And whatever things, even in this room, in my life, the things that are holding me back, Lord, we want to bring them to the foot of the cross. Would you remove them? Would you break the power? Would you break those chains? Would you set us at liberty, Lord Jesus, for your glory? So would you just bless us? Bless us as we worship you now. Bless us as we fellowship. And bless us as we go into this Easter Sunday with the families or meals or whatever we do. And we just pray that in the midst of that as well, just as at Christmas, that we would have pockets of time just to stop and just to think and just to thank you in our own way for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.